I want to visit with us today about fear. And it's been a scripture, and what we're going to use our text scripture is going to be in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. And it's one that I've heard quoted quite a bit since we've gone into this pandemic and we have a situation that we're having to deal with. When we take into consideration what has happened to our nation and to our world, when we put it in to simplistic terms, the reason that we are sheltered in place, and we have been sheltered in place basically since, in some form or another, since early March, the reason that we have been sheltered in place is because of fear. And I'm not saying that fear is a bad thing. It's a good thing if it's used in the right, in the proper respect.
Yes.
So in one sense, as we look at fear, it is a point that the Lord has given us this emotion to protect us.
Yes.
All right. And so we take into consideration certain things that we have to deal with, certain things that might happen. We take those things into consideration, and it's and we adjust our actions for that particular thing. And that's what we've done here. And I'm sure, and I believe that this is a serious thing. I'm not trying to belittle the situation of this COVID-19. I'm not trying to belittle it at all. But I think that what we have to understand is how are we managing our fear? There are some people that are going too far in it, and then there are some people that are not going far enough. All right? So they're saying, you know, I'm not afraid of this. I talked to a man that was standing in line. We were a distance apart the other day. I was standing going to the bank, and he was saying, you know, I think it's all a hoax. And he didn't have a mask on. He was an older gentleman, too. Didn't have a mask on, didn't have anything like that on. And he was right in front of me. And when he got to the line, the lady says, where's your mask? He said, well, I was just going to put this handkerchief over my face. She said, no, you can't do that. You got to go get a mask. They sell them right over there. Well, he didn't take it as serious as everybody else was taking it. Everybody else in the line was right. But he just didn't have any fear. We've got to be careful about that. I want to turn. Before we get to that particular scripture, I want to lay this preface out, and I want us to go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and I want to read the third verse. If you have that, you can read it for us. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3.
For though we walk in the flesh,
we do not war after the flesh.
For the weapons of our warfare
are not carnal,
but mighty.
But mighty through God,
to the pulling down of strongholds,
casting down imaginations,
and every high thing that is exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity
every thought
to the obedience of Christ.
Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, it talks about the weapons of our warfare not being carnal. They're not of this world. They're not of the flesh. So, but it brings out here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And it tells what it does, what these weapons that we have do. So it says, mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Now I want to talk to us for a moment about imagination, because imagination is how we deal with fear. All right? So our fear is based on our imagination, whether we want to admit that or not. We have this story in our mind as to what's going to happen and what might happen, and then we select the narrative, and we make up in our mind whether or not it's going to go this direction or whether or not it's going to go another direction. Mm-hmm. And so when we take that into consideration, we never thought of our imaginations as being our enemy, right? But he's talking about war, he's talking about warfare, he's talking about it not being carnal and what these weapons do. We have a weapon. One of the weapons is prayer. One of the weapons is the Word of God. One of the weapons is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
All right? And so what we have to do is we have to utilize these weaponry in order to combat the enemy that's coming against us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the enemy that comes against us is our own imagination. Remember when you were a child and the closet door was open and you looked under the bed before you, with the monsters were under the bed, and or the monsters were in the closet and you want the light left on? Remember those kinds of times? Why? Because a child has a vivid imagination, and their imagination runs away with them, and as a result, they are afraid of things that they shouldn't be afraid of. There's no monster under the bed. There's no monster in the closet. There's nothing like that, right? We know that as an adult, but a child with a vivid imagination doesn't have that clarity and that understanding. So therefore, that child wants the light left on. He wants a little nightlight because he's afraid of the dark, right? We don't know what's there. So do you realize that when we're afraid of something, we use our imagination to
paint a picture or to make up a story about that thing. And you know, the imagination is good in one respect. You know, we have the technology. We're being live streamed right now. We have the technology to go on the phone and all these kind of things. You know, that started? That started with someone having an imagination. But also, we can say some of the worst things that have happened in the world are because of people's imaginations. What did the Lord bring up? What did the Lord say to Noah? He said, the imaginations of men's heart are exceedingly evil. So I'm going to destroy the world because of their imagination. So we have to put our imagination in its proper place, in its proper perspective. And when it comes to being afraid, we have to put it in its proper perspective. I want to turn to another scripture. I want to read the text scripture, 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and I want to read the sixth and seventh verse. All right? 2 Timothy, first chapter, sixth verse.
Wherefore,
I put thee in remembrance
that thou stir up the gift of God
which is in thee
by the putting on of my hands.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear
but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
So it says here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. There's a little difference, I think, here in when he's talking about a spirit of fear. You're afraid. Yes, there's a fear. There is a certain fear that we have of heights. And you know why? I believe anybody that says, I'm not afraid of heights, that's a person that tends to be a little reckless, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So there is a reason that we're afraid of heights, because if we fall down, it's going to injure us pretty badly, or we even have the prospect of dying, right? Mm-hmm. And so we understand. So we have to mitigate in some kind of a way. We have to mitigate. So what do? When we see that there's high places, if you go to a balcony, generally there's a rail there, right? You can still fall over if you lean too far, if you do what you should not do, all those kinds of things. But you can. But if you have if you're so fearful that you won't even go on the ledge, even though it has these mitigating things that will keep us safe, there's something a little bit more. There's a spirit behind that. There's a spirit of fear. So we want to make certain that we understand the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. That I'm afraid of my shadow. I'm afraid of everything that goes on. I'm afraid of what might happen. Yes, there's a lot of things that might happen, but you also have things that you do in place. For instance, here we are. All of us have masks. All of us wash our hands. All of us do the things. Can we still get it? We stay in the house. Can we still get COVID-19? Absolutely we can, can't we? No. It's a little enemy that we have no idea where it is. But we're not to be paranoid. Why? Because we have weapon. And our weaponry is that we can have faith in God. It fights against these things. Lord, inspire and increase my faith. That doesn't mean I stop doing the things that I'm supposed to do. But it means that now I'm not so afraid of my shadow that I won't go outside of the house because I'm so afraid of getting this. I've heard of people getting it through the mail.
Right.
Somebody handed a package that comes in the mail. Their food is sent on the door, and the person that delivers it is a person that. Now, am I trying to frighten everybody? No, I'm just trying to tell you that the Lord has not given you the spirit of fear. That's not from God. We're to do what we can do to mitigate the circumstances, to mitigate the problem, and make us as safe as we possibly can. But our trust, saints, I want us to understand this. Our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is not just in what we do. Our trust is in the Lord. All right? I want us to understand that. Now, so the scripture here says that for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, one of the things that we want to say, I want to deal with this maybe a little bit further along in this discourse. But one of the things, remember how the scripture, and most of us know the scripture by heart, Psalms 23, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though I'm in the midst of everything around me, that the things that are around me can have a great impact on me. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death. This shadow of death, it can kill me, right? We're in the shadow of death with this COVID thing. We're in the shadow of death, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can walk anywhere. We can take something in as careful as we are. We can take this in and it can actually have a detrimental effect on us, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that, right? It says, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
Why?
Lord.
Why?
Thou art
with me.
Yes.
Thou art with me. So this is what we have to do. This is the mitigating circumstance, right? This is the mitigating factor here, shall we say. This is the thing that makes me where I'm not afraid. Yes, this shadow of death, this place, this valley that we're in right now, it can destroy us. It has the ability to kill us. It has the ability to do all those things. However, why am I not afraid? Because thou art with me, Lord. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I thought about how oftentimes there could be things around us. Remember when we were children, or remember how maybe we were afraid of something, and a dog or something that comes up. And then what do? Mama and daddy is there, and daddy picks us up. We're not so afraid of that dog anymore, are we? Why? Because there's something. There's a greater power than that dog as far as we're concerned. There's a greater power than that dog that's holding me in his bosom, and he's not going to let anything happen to me.
Yes.
All right, I can believe that. We believed in our parents. We believed that our father could do anything. My dad is stronger than your dad. My dad can do this, and my dad can do that. Whether he could or not, we believe that in our mind. Here's the thing about our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, he can do anything. He's stronger than this COVID-19. He's stronger than all the fears that we have. He's bigger than all of those things. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to fear evil. You know why I'm not going to fear evil? Because thou art with me.
Yes.
I've got something stronger. So when this scripture talks about he's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power. You know what overcomes fear? Power. Power overcomes fear, doesn't it? You know what? How he brings out this, if we go into the first scripture that we talked about, our imaginations and strongholds and all these are mental things. These are mental things that we have to deal with. Our imagination is a mental process that we can create a world in our mind. We can create it, and we have characters in that world, and we can build a storyline in that world, and we can have a plot and suspense and all those things with our imagination. What if? What if? What if I could do? What if this happens? What if that happens? But you know what? Also, we have the power to say, listen, I'm going to control the narrative in my mind. I'm going to control it. There are things that I've been afraid of, you know, and I thought about it like this. You know what? I have people that have not flown, and I know people, I have relatives that have never flown on an airplane. You know why they don't fly on an airplane? They're afraid of crashing. Do you know how many people died last year in a plane accident? About 250 people. Died of crashes. You know how many people died in car accidents? And just in the United States. When we're talking about plane accidents, we're talking about worldwide. 257 people. I wouldn't have wanted to be one of those people, of course. But you know what? When we look at it like that, it's probably a safer way to fly than it is for us to get in a car and drive from here to the grocery store. All right? Most of the accidents happen around a person's home. We heard about the little child that was hit by a car and whatnot. Those are tragedies, absolute tragedies. And we do what we can to mitigate them. But you know, 38,000 people died last year. Over 38,000 people died here in the United States. And about 3.3 million were seriously injured to the point that they had to go get medical attention. But we drive anyway. And do you know what we do? We use our signal lights. We go the speed limit. We try to do all these things that would eliminate us from having an accident, right? Mm-hmm. But we still might have it. I've been in an accident before. And I would say it's not my fault. I hit a car from behind, but it's my fault. You know, I was getting on the freeway. And what do? When you get on the freeway, you accelerate, right? And just as I was accelerating, getting on the freeway, there was a pileup right before me. And then all these cars hit each other. And I was the last car. I hit my brakes as hard as I could. Had nothing, nowhere. It was on a bridge. It was nowhere to get off. I couldn't do anything but hit the person. And I was in a car accident. That was many years ago. And I did everything that I possibly could to prevent it, but I could not prevent it. So now I've heard of people that have been in those kinds of places, and now they're fearful, and they don't want to drive, and I understand that. And I don't want to belittle that or berate it or make it small, like that's not a big deal or not a big issue. It is a big issue. But I want us to understand that our imagination and fear, it works with our imagination. And we create the narrative for that, for our imagination. And we say, you know what, the reason I'm not going to drive right now is because I'm afraid I might have another accident. Well, do you know, that was over 20 years ago. I've been in very close calls. I've seen other accidents. I've seen all these other things, but I've not been in one. You know why? Because I'm a little bit more careful today than I was back then. And I'm going to watch out. I'm going to look way ahead of me. And I'm not going to be as distracted. And what do we have nowadays? There's probably going to be a lot more deaths. Because why? Because people drive distractedly. How many times have people been, have you seen people on their phones? Mm-hmm. Have you seen them driving and they're on their phones and they're distracted? That's an accident waiting to happen. But yet we're not afraid to do that, are we? But there are some things that we're afraid of. Scripture says, I'm not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power. Let me tell you one other thing. The power of love and of a sound mind. God is love. He's given us. That's a powerful emotion, isn't it?
Amen.
When you fall in love with somebody, it's a powerful emotion. Or when you just love somebody, it's a powerful emotion. It'll make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. Why? Because there's love there, right? God is love. God will do things for you. If you ask him to, if you ask the Lord to put a hedge about you and protect you, he wants to do that. Have you asked him about that? Have you said, Lord, there are things that I'm fearful of. There are things that I'm afraid of. And Lord, it's ruling my life. It's causing me to not do things. I'm making decisions based on my fear. And when I make decisions based on my fear, they're never good decisions. All right? So if I'm making based solely on my fear, now there you take that into consideration. You take your fear into consideration. And you plan for it and you try to do what's necessary to circumvent what might happen, the what if. You do what you have to do in order to circumvent that, and you put that in your mind, but ultimately we wouldn't do anything if there were everything that we do is a risk, and we wouldn't do anything.
That's true.
If we just got so fearful. And there are some people that are like that. They're so afraid they're paranoid. Mm-hmm. Lord, help us. We can't be paranoid.
That's right.
The Lord's not giving us a spirit. And I believe what paranoia is a spirit of fear that comes down on you. And I know it's easier said than done. And what's the remedy? The remedy is knowing that God is more powerful than the thing that you're afraid of.
Amen.
And what I've learned is that if you get up out of the bed, you shine a flashlight under the bed, there is no monster there. The majority of the things that we are afraid of never happen to us. But we act as though they will happen to us. So the majority of us are not going to get COVID. The majority of us are not going to die as a result of it. The majority of us are not going to crash in an airplane. And the majority of us are not going to die in a car accident. All right? The majority of us. So we take that risk, and we ask the Lord, when we get into a car, there are mitigating factors that will prevent us from having an accident. One of the things that we say is, Lord, give us traveler's mercy.
Yes, yes,
be merciful to us, Lord. We pray and we ask the Lord to help us to get from point A to point B without any issues, without any problems. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, so far the Lord's done that for all of us, hasn't he?
Amen. Yes.
So we can trust him. Oh, it's just coincident? It's just haphazard? It just happens? No. The Lord is in control.
Amen.
Of everything. All right?
Thank
so he says, wherefore, the Spirit, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power, he's given us the spirit of love, and he's given us the spirit of a sound mind. And what is a sound mind? We talked a little bit about that last Sunday. A sound mind is one that can look at the situation and can take it into consideration, and he can make a sound decision that's based on all the factors, that we're looking at all the factors equally, right? All right, here's it. I'll tell you one thing. I never learned how to swim when I was a boy. I always wanted to go to, I didn't learn until I became an adult, and I'm not a very good swimmer now. So don't ask me to rescue anybody. I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd be doing good to keep my head above the water. But you know why I didn't learn how to swim? I didn't learn how to swim because my mother was afraid of us drowning.
Same thing.
Didn't learn how to swim. And you know, back then we had the public swimming pools. My wife grew up in a little rich kid. They had a swimming pool in the backyard, right? So she learned how to swim, a very good swimmer, right? Well, here we would have to go to the public pool, or we'd have to go to the, more often we'd have to go to the tanks or the ponds back where the cows drink out of, and the frogs, and shoot, where we shot bullfrogs and all these kind of things, water moccasins and all those kinds of things. We would have to swim in those creeks and whatnot. But my mother wouldn't let us do it. Particularly the younger, the older boys were able to learn how to swim fairly well. The younger ones, we didn't learn how to swim. And you know what? Here's the problem. I understand that. I understand the mother's fear. But there are things that could have happened that we could have done. One, we could have used a life vest, right? We could have had a lifeguard. We could have had someone that knew how to swim that we couldn't. We didn't have to go to the deep part of it, right? So those are things. Even in a public pool, even if you go to the beach and whatnot, there's a lifeguard there. If somebody gets into trouble, they get too deep into it, there's somebody there to go and rescue them. And another one would have been, just teach us how to swim. Somebody teach us how to swim. Well, let's take swimming lessons. We learn how to do it, and the chances of us drowning are cut almost to zero. Even a good swimmer can drown, right? You can get into undercurrents. In Kern County, I believe in the rivers down there in Bakersfield, but there's always this undercurrent, what I've heard. I've never been there, but I've heard about people drowning there all the time because on the surface, it seems like it's very calm and clear, but underneath there are these undercurrents that are going in various directions and whatnot. People get pulled up under them, right? So one of the things you have to do, you have to understand, you know, we got a lot of rivers here in Sacramento. All right, I'm assuming they're all safe rivers for the most part and whatnot. But people, I see people all the time out there swimming like it's a beach and out there enjoying the water, and we should. But do you know those people can drown? Are we afraid to do it because those people can drown? No. We do what we have to do in order to make it where it's less likely for that to happen. Yes. So what do? We get on boats. We have them life jackets. We have the little arm things that the children have that when they go out, they stay above the water, don't we? And then what we do, we learn how to swim. We learn that there is swimming. And then there's other people. There are people on that beach. If I were to go out to the river today, there would be people on that river that could rescue me if I got myself into trouble. I'm almost certain of that. All right? Now, what about this? We talk about this. We talk about the things that we're afraid of and the things that we've got to be careful. One of the things that we have to be careful. You know what? There's sometimes in my wife and I, we help each other. If there's sometimes that maybe she's a little afraid of something, I say, there's nothing to be afraid of. And so what is she doing? Does it take her fear away? Not necessarily take it away, but you know what it does? It helps to mitigate it. It helps to bring it down some. That she's going to depend on me because I'm the man. And she's going to say, okay, Daryl, I'm depending on you. If you say we're going to be okay, then I think we're going to be okay. I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best to be okay. And so we go forward, not based on her fear, because if we based it on her fear, we would never do anything, right? She's not like that, but I'm just saying, I'm using it as an example. And so what it is, if we do things based on what could happen, we would never do anything. I could drive out here, go home and have an accident and die. I could. But does that prevent me from coming to church? No, it doesn't. I could go out and I can catch COVID from somebody that's at a restaurant. I watch those restaurants and we're eating at them and we're thinking that everything is fine. I think, you just picked that up and you did that with your hand. You need to get some more gloves. Have you ever told people that? I've told people that. Mm-hmm. That you've just done this to your mask with your glove on and now you're preparing my food? No, I don't want you to prepare my food. I don't want that. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Now, why am I saying all these fearful things? I'm saying all these fearful things is because, God, thou art with me. Mm-hmm. I pray for the food. We pray over and we say, Lord, if there's anything in here that shouldn't be in here, Lord, have mercy on us. And Lord, take it away. And you know the Lord can do that. If we have faith in God, God can do it. You know what the scripture talks about? In the latter time, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm thee. What do you suppose that means? If you drink something that is dead, does that mean that I go and I drink poison and I'm not afraid of dying? Because that's foolish, isn't it? For me to go and drink something that I know is going to affect me in a negative way. I don't do that. We don't do that. But let me tell you what we do do. We do pray that before we take a sip, we can say, Lord, would you purge this of anything? If it's deadly, if there's this coronavirus in what I'm about to eat, if there's this coronavirus in what I'm about to drink, if you promised us that if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm us, I am not going to be afraid to drink. I'm not going to be afraid to eat. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we talk about power, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of power and love, and of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. That I can make sound decisions based on the information that I have. I can make sound decisions on what I'm about to do. Mm-hmm. All right? So he says, love is a powerful thing. Knowledge is a powerful thing. You know, have you heard how it says knowledge is power? Mm-hmm. Well, what is it talking about? When it's talking about a sound mind, things that go into our mental capacity and we make sound decisions based on this, there's a lot of power in that.
Yes.
We know what's going to happen, what might happen. Mm-hmm. We've taken that into consideration, and we're still not afraid to go forward. Right. Lord, help us. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. All right, so I want to read a few things. I want to Romans, the 8th chapter and the 15th verse. Romans 8 and 15 says, but we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So we have to constantly look to God to be the mitigating factor that eliminates and wipes all our fears away. I'm not going to be afraid walking through the valley of death. Why? Because you're with me, Lord. You're going to take care of me in the midst of this. I'm not going to be afraid. Is that fear trying to creep back in? Do we say we have no fear and we're just going to be haphazard and we're going to do the things that we want to do and just skip along the trail? No, we're not going to do that. But Lord, we're going to do the things that that a sound mind tells us to do. We're going to take the necessary precautions. Maybe we go a little bit too far, but we take a necessary precaution to do the things that need to be done. And then what happens? What happens is God takes care of the rest. We do our part, God does the rest of it. All right, but I'm not going to be afraid of what might happen to me. I'm not going to be afraid of that.
Thank the Lord.
Right? Because you know what fear does? It puts us in bondage.
It does. Mm-hmm.
It puts us in bondage. I can't do anything. I can't make sound decisions. Right. I cannot make sound judgments based on fear. We take the risk into consideration, but we don't base our actions on them. All right? So we're not going to be paranoid about this. We're not going to be paranoid about the things that affect us. Right. We won't do that. All right? Let's go a little farther. Let's go to 1 Samuel, and I may paraphrase this for the sake of time. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We know about David and Goliath. I want to start maybe at the, we'll 17th chapter, and we'll start at the 4th verse. Yes.
And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass.
So let's talk about how this man for a moment. This man was he'd be about 10 feet tall. I'm 5'10". So it would be two of me. So if you had another man to stand on my shoulders, the same height as me, literally stand on my shoulders, that's the height that Goliath would be. All right? About 9 foot, 9 inches, 10 foot. Let's just do it at 10 foot. So if I'm nearly 200 pounds, and this man would be nearly 400 pounds, if he had more muscle than fat, then he probably would be more than 500-600 pounds and solid muscle. That would be a formidable foe. I would be afraid to want to go to fight against this man. I mean, it would be something quite something. His coat of mail, the coat that he had on, the armor that he had on was 125 pounds by itself. So for a man to carry 125 pounds and walk with it, that was quite something, right? So this is something to be afraid of. But let's go a little further here.
And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders.
Between his shoulders.
And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron.
Now, I'm not sure how much that is. I want to say it was over 50 pounds, but I'm not sure about that. So don't quote me on that. But it was pretty heavy. And this man was able to do, he was a warrior.
Yes.
He was a champion. They call him a champion. Right. And what does a champion do? Champions have
victories
under their belts, don't they? All right, keep going.
And one bearing a shield went before him.
Yes.
And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye
come out
to set your battles in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye
servants of Saul?
Choose you
a man for you,
and let him come
down to me.
If he be able to fight with me
and kill me,
then will we be your servants.
But if I prevail and kill him,
then shall you
be our servants and serve us.
And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man
that we may fight together.
When Saul and all of Israel
heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now let's talk about Saul for a moment. Remember when the Lord chose Saul?
Yes.
The Lord chose Saul, and Saul, what did it say about Saul's stature? Saul stood head and shoulders above all the other Israelites. So who was the likely person to go and fight this Philistine? It would have been Saul, wouldn't it? He was the king. He was the tallest. He was the biggest, one of the biggest men there. And now he was going to go and fight the Philistines. But let me tell you what that Philistine did. He got into their heads, didn't he? He went there and looking at him. I'm looking at this. This is a thing that to be afraid of. Absolutely to be afraid of. I wouldn't want to fight a man with a sword and a spear and all these, a javelin and all this. And if I, as a man that is, let's say I'm 6 feet, even if I'm 6 feet, 7 feet tall, that man is still taller than I am. And his arm reach is much longer than mine. So if we're fighting hand-to-hand combat, it makes sense for us to say, listen, you know what, I've lost before I started. So therefore, I'm not going to fight this man. So therefore, the children of Israel and Saul, and it says, and Saul, what does it say here? And when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now I want to drop down to the 16th verse of the same chapter, and I want to read this a little bit.
And the Philistine drew near
morning and evening,
and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son.
Okay, that's good enough. All right, so I want to stop there. And it says, the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So every morning he went out. And he taunted them.
Yes.
He talked about their God. He talked about what they couldn't do. He talked about all the things that he could do. He did it in the morning. And then in the evening, he went and did it again. Now he went back to the camp. You see how afraid they are of us?
Mm-hmm.
All these things that they were saying. And they were laughing over in the Philistine camp. I'm using my imagination here. But that's how human nature is, right? Mm-hmm. And so now he's there. And he has done this for 40 days. So this is 80 times that they heard this. And this is 80 times that he's taunted them. He got into their heads.
Yes.
He got into their head. Do you know that the enemy gets into our heads and there puts us on a loop? And these are things that we are fearful of, and it's in a loop. And even when they were sleeping, some of those men were thinking about it in the middle of the night. I wish there was somebody that could help us with this Goliath character. I'm having a problem with this Goliath character. Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And they're up in the middle of the night. You know when you can't sleep? You're up in the middle of the night, and you're trying to make sense of all this. He got into their heads.
Brainwash.
And he convinced them that what he could do, he was so powerful that there was no one that could defeat him.
Mm-hmm.
And they believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the devil tells us things that we tend to believe?
Help us, Lord.
Lord, help us. We believe those things. And we adjust. And the more he told them, the more they believed it. The first day they looked at it, they said, well, this guy, maybe we could do something. But then he comes, and then they're looking at everything that he has. He's coming in a ring. He's coming all dressed up and everything. Where would we be able to get him? And then what happens? I want to drop down to the 22nd verse.
And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage.
Yes.
And ran into the army. And came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name,
out of the armies of the Philistine.
And spake according to the same words.
And David heard him. Now he's been talking about this for the last 40 days, and David heard him. But you know what? David had a fresh perspective. You know that sometimes we need people with a fresh perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that the loop hasn't been going on in their head for so long. You can't do this. You can't. Have the devil ever told you what you can't do? Have you ever heard what you cannot do, and you can't do this, and you can't do that? And then before long, you start to believe those kinds of things. You can't believe those things. That's the one I want to tell you today. You can't believe all the things that goes on in your head. You can't believe your imagination all the time. That's a story that's made up in your head. They made up a story that if I go against Goliath, he is surely to kill me. David made another story, didn't he?
Yes.
David said, all right, who is this? What did David say in the next 24th verse? And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Now Israel is believing what Goliath has told them.
Yes.
He's believing it in their minds. He's gotten into their mind. He's inserted into their imaginations what he is going to do and how he's going to chew them up and spit them out.
Yes.
And they're believing it.
Yes.
Lord, help us. Because the devil tells us some things that we start to believe, and if we're not careful, we'll believe the devil more than the word of God.
Right.
Have mercy on us, Lord. That's what we're doing. When we are afraid to go forward, when the Lord has told us to go forward,
yes.
When we are afraid to do it,
yes, Lord.
we're believing the devil over God. You know, the Lord will tell us something, the devil will tell us something else. And we'll believe the devil before we believe the Lord. Well, the devil saying, "Well, you know you ain't saved. Have you ever told you that? You know you're not. You know you're not this. And you know, well, why are you telling me this? If I'm not, why are you telling me? Why are you telling me? You know the Lord, but the Lord has said it's all right. You've done whatever you've done. I've forgiven you. You're saved. You're sanctified. You can go forward in the name of Jesus. But we believe. We choose to believe the narrative that is looped in our heads, looped in our head, rather than reading the Word of God. Now, what does he say?
26.
The men of Israel saw this man. Oh, yes, 26.
And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth the Philistine,
and taketh away the reproach from Israel?
For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
He's going around calling us names. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is he? Who does he think he is?
That he should defy the armies of the living God.
Now, I want us to bring out another point. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. What David saw here was an uncircumcised Philistine. And he said, what did he say? To find the place where he says it to Goliath, where the Goliath, he goes to Goliath. He said, "This day will I," in one sense he did, "This day will I give your..." I'll take your head off," he said. He said, I'm gonna kill you. And Goliath walks out here and he said, "Who do you think I am, a dog? You come to me with these little stones?"
Then, 45th verse.
Yes.
"Then said David to the Philistine,
yes,
thou comest to me with the sword and thou with
comest
the spear.
To me with the sword and the spear.
And with the shield.
And with the shield.
But I come to thee
in the name of the Lord of hosts.
And the God of the armies of Israel,
whom thou hast defied.
This day.
I'm telling you what I'm going to do before I do it. Now, where's the fear? Everybody thought, well, what did his brother say to him? You know, I know the naughtiness of your heart. You come out here to see what the battle is. Is there not a cause? You're afraid. We are the people of God. Why are we afraid of what the devil can do to us? Why are we afraid of the Philistine? We don't have to be afraid of the Philistine. We are the army of God. He's defying us. And so what did David say? This day
will the Lord deliver thee into my hand.
He said, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hands.
And I will smite thee.
I will hit you first.
And take thine head from
me. And then I'm going to take your head off. Now, I ain't got a sword, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm prophesying now. All right? I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you with one of these rods. You're going to come down. And then I'm going to take your sword. And I'm going to cut somebody's sword. I don't know if he had thought that far in advance. I don't know. But he said, I'm going to take somebody's sword. And I'm going to cut your head off. All right? Go ahead.
And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines.
Of the host of the Philistines. Not just you. But all of those that are over there on that mountain that are in a ring. All of those that my folks over here that are afraid of. We're going to give all of your carcasses to the birds of the air.
And to the wild beasts
of the field.
All the earth.
Now, what is he doing? He's giving glory to God.
Yes.
God is glorified in them. Saints, why are we so afraid of these things? God has not given us a spirit of fear. Don't let the devil get into your heart and into your mind. Maybe he can't get into your heart so easily, but he gets into your mind. Yes. He makes it where you're paranoid, where you're not making sound decisions based off of the Word of God. If the Lord says you can do it, you can do it.
Amen.
If the Lord gives us the liberty to do it, let us do it. Let us go forth in the name of Jesus and do it and not be so afraid of all the things that are going on and all the what if and this might happen and that might happen. Yes, it might, but who's with us?
That's right.
Who's with us? One scripture says, the Lord is the light, my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Yes.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yes.
When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up to eat my flesh, they stumbled and failed. Though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, and this will I be confident.
Yes, Lord.
I'm confident that the Lord is going to take care of me. Saints, where's your faith? Where's our faith?
Yes, Lord.
How are we going to trust the Lord? What story are we believing? What loop that's going on in our mind? Are we believing the Word of God? Are we believing what the Philistines are saying? Are we believing the Goliath in our life? The formidable foe that has every opportunity and the power and the strength to defeat us. But let me tell you, may the Lord help us to understand we do not have to submit to that. We do not have to listen to that narrative. Goliath put the narrative in the Israelites' mind, and David came and said, all right, I see another story here. I see another storyline, and the storyline that I see is God's going to take care of me. God is going to take this psychology of fear. There is a psychology to it. There is a study. They know how to make you afraid. The devil knows how to make you afraid. He knows what your greatest fear is, and he's going to capitalize on your greatest fear. What you can't do is listen to the narrative. The greatest fear is to die in battle. All of these Israelites were men of war. And they wanted the excitement of going into battle, the adrenaline rush and all those kinds of things. They liked that. They enjoyed that because they knew God was going to be with them. But somewhere they don't know where God is now. I don't know where God is. Lord, where are you? Where are you in this? God said, my word is still true. You can depend upon my word. You can depend upon my spirit. I have not given you the spirit of fear. I will not give you the spirit of fear, but I'll give you the spirit of power. What keeps the peace? Power. It's not that everybody goes around and have flowers and everybody's doing what everybody else says, but you know what makes a peaceful nation is there's power. We've got an army that's fighting against any threat that we might have. Lord, help us. I want to get finished with this, and I want us to understand it. So here is the situation. I want to read another scripture. I'm just going to refer to that one. It's in Numbers, the 13th chapter, 33rd verse. And it says, these were the spies that had come over. For the sake of time, we won't go all into it. You can read it at your leisure. The spies that came over, the report, when they went over to Canaan land, and they were coming back and giving the report, and then what did they say? And they said, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sights as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So here's another thing. They got into their mind just by them looking at them. Here, these men are way too big for us to come against. We can't do that. We're in our sights. Compared to the Goliaths in our lives, we're just grasshoppers. And you know what you do with a grasshopper? You can just step on a little grasshopper. Have no power. God's not giving us that. Do not berate yourself and shrink yourself as a child of God to being just a little old bitty grasshopper. The weakest, most vulnerable saint is stronger than the biggest and baddest Goliath and demon that is in hell. All you have to do is ask the Lord to help you.
Yes. Amen.
To give you that power to come against it. You don't have to fear. Lord, help us. Now, are we going to have fears? Yes, we are. I'm not here saying that we're not going to have fears, but I'm saying do not, under any circumstances, let those fears dominate your life and allow the enemy to put the loop in your mind that was saying, well, this is what's going to happen. It might happen, but probably not. Most of the things that we're afraid of never happen to us, and we're sitting here worrying about what the scripture tells us. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be paranoid. Don't allow that narrative to be the one that you choose to go with. Because I can choose to say, you know what? I'm going to go with David's narrative. Mm-hmm. David's story, the one that he saw and the character that he saw. He's telling us what's going to happen. There's a spoiler alert. It's going to happen just like David said it's going to happen. And saints, we can have spoiler alerts in our lives that the Lord's going to take care of us before we even start the battle. Mm-hmm. The Lord's going to see us through. You know what? I tell the devil sometimes, it ain't open until I win. If you seem like you got the best of me this time, I'm going to get back up, dust myself off, and I'm going to come in swinging again. Swinging the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'm going to have faith as a grain of mustard seed. I'm going to have the things that God wants me to have so that I can go forward and I'm not afraid of what the devil can do to me. The devil can't do anything to me that God won't allow him to. You remember Job? You remember how the devil couldn't do anything with Job unless the Lord said he could? Now, I've got a whole lot more to say, but I'm going to bring this to an end, so I don't want to wear you out. But here is the point. Don't let the Goliath control your actions. Don't let him control. Don't let him get into your head. Be the David. The most unlikely 17, 18-year-old boy that didn't have enough sense to be afraid. He hadn't had enough experience to be afraid. Or maybe the Lord just gave him something. He knew that there was a fear, and he took that into consideration. One of the fears that David knew is, listen, I can't fight him. What did they do? Saul put his armor on David. David said, I'll go. And he put his armor on David, and David said, you know what? I'm afraid to go with this. This shield and the armor. I'm afraid. But I'm not afraid. He said, well, what about all this is a man of war, and you're just a youth. He said, but you know what? I don't take that into consideration. I just know what the Lord has done for me in times past, and I'm going to utilize that. And he said, you know, one time there was a bear that came in and was going to take my sheep. And you know what I did? I rose up, I hid him, and I killed him. Yeah. And then the lion came. Didn't he say that? And he said, what did I do? I grabbed him by the beard. That was close, hand-to-hand combat. I don't think I would have done that. I don't know. But may the Lord help him. He smote and killed the lion. That was a big foe. What? He said, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be one of those. If the Lord took care of me then, he's going to take care of me now. Saints, you've got situations and circumstances that the Lord's taken care of you down through the years, or you wouldn't be where you are today. There have been fears that you've overcome in times past that God has done something special for you. Don't be afraid today. Make sound decisions, sound judgment, that the Lord, and understand that the Lord is going to see you through. He's going to take you through. He's going to take you through this too. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He's not giving us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Pray for me.